Welcome, members and guests, to the September 27th meeting of the City Club of Eugene. I'm Marty Wilde, City Club President. Our sponsors today are Lane Metro Partnership, working to promote economic development in Lane County, Helios Resource Network, bringing the community together for sustainability in Eugene, and 91.9 KRVM, listener-supported public radio. As always, a special thank you to KLCC for airing the programs on Monday night and KPFF Consulting Engineers for our office space. Today, we would also like to express our appreciation for 9 local companies that are supporting a new joint venture by City Club of Eugene and Lane Workforce Partnership to include teachers more actively in our efforts to build community vision through open inquiry. City Club and Lane Workforce Partnership launched a course last week. We are exploring the economy of the region and the nature of employment opportunities in our community by means of field trips to 9 major companies. Our gracious collaborators in providing this experience are Seneca Sawmill, Oregon Community Credit Union, Insight Hotel Management Group, Symantec, Northwest Stamping, Old Dominion Collision Repair, and Willamette Valley Company, States Industries, and Glory B Foods. This is an exciting program, and we are grateful for these companies for supporting it. Today's presenters are Peter Powell from Fred Meyers, Dave Perez from the YMCA, and Ron Krasilnik, who will bring us the future of Civic Stadium. Welcome to our KLCC listeners and to our TV audiences on community television and the Oregon Wind Network. We are a member-supported organization, like KLCC and KRVM. If you are not already a member of us, of our club, and those as well, please consider a tax-deductible virtual or regular City Club membership, sponsorship, or a donation. At this point, I'd like to hand it over to Eugene Planning Commissioner John Belcher, who will moderate our program today and introduce our speakers.
Thank you, Marty. The future of Civic Stadium, or Wither Civic. This is a 10-acre site owned and declared surplus by the Eugene 4J School Board. There is a process to be determined, so we can't tell you what that will be, but we do know that the City Council has demonstrated interest in the site, and we don't know what may come of that. They passed 2 motions that you heard of earlier. But we have heard from 3 different groups as to what their vision might be, and that's what we're here today to hear from. So I'd ask each of them to come up to the table, and I will introduce them. No, anywhere you'd like to be. And where you sit will determine the order in which you speak.
We're always in the middle of that.
So to your left, we have Peter Power. Who is with Powell Development Company, which is a regional development company who is working with Fred Meyer to create their vision of what we should see in this project. Ron Krasilnik, is that correct? Thank you. Is Secretary-Treasurer of United Stadium Group and Lane United Supporters. He's been working on bringing soccer to the renovated Civic Stadium for over 3.5 years, and he co-authored the Safe Civic RFP 2 years ago. And since then, he's had much more time to work on further development of that plan. And finally, Dave Perez on your right is the executive director of the YMCA. He's been part of the YMCA movement since 1973. He began his career in the LA YMCA and has worked for Y's up and down I-5. But he's been with the Eugene YMCA for over 20 years. So we're going to start with giving each of them an opportunity to describe their vision for what they would like to see with the site. And then finally, we're going to come back around and ask them to do a triple bottom line analysis, and I'll tell you what that means later. So why don't we start with you, sir, Mr. Powell.
Thank you guys very much. Thank you, John. We've been down here before, and I know we've been in front of you, I believe it was about 2 or 2.5 years ago. Since that time, we've actually gone out and we met with the city's groups. We've actually met with the Safe Civic. We've met with had open houses, met with the soccer, and trying to get the vision of what everybody here wants. And I'm going to be standing up here a second because I have a couple boards that I'd like to explain. I'd like to, and for the people on the radio, I'll try and be as concise as possible rather than just point and take a look at this. But our vision, what we're trying to do is take a look at how can we take something that is dilapidated now and reuse the real beauty of it, the internal portion of it, and yet have a portion that will work on the Willamette and come in for Fred Meyer. As you know, down in the South Eugene area, there is no soft goods. And you can't buy soft goods, or very few. Most people will go off and they'll go buy their items in Springfield, they'll go out West 11th. And a lot of the shopping dollars go out away from South Eugene. And we believe that being part of this, we can actually sustain having the walk, the riding, the biking within the 20, you know, for within 20 minutes of your household in this area. One of the first, I'm going to grab out the microphone here. The first is we show a picture of, if just to give you everybody orientation, we have Willamette Street is up here at the on the very top portion of this drawing. We're showing a portion where we've actually kept a portion of the stadium, and which was here, and we actually a portion of the ball field. We've actually shown a building here that we could actually partner with the Y on if Dave would want to do that. And that's where we would actually buy the land and turn around to give the Y the land, and all they'd have to do is come up the money for their building. We'd do all the site work on top of that. We're trying to be a fabric of the community. We're trying to be where we actually will build something that people want to and where they're going to stay here. Pardon me, and where they'll stay in this neighborhood and be able to shop. People often have a conception that Fred Meyer is what you see out on West 11th, and that is right now farther than the truth. One of the things, what we can actually point to that is actually we've built, that we've, in, this is Wilsonville. Now, we divided this building up. You see the store frontage here. They look like individual buildings, and we actually have very large sidewalks. We have roll-up windows. We're actually putting the produce out on the sidewalks. We're trying to make it like a farmer's market. But you talk about sustainability. That's where this other, I'm showing a picture of during the daylight, where you actually have to see the solar panels. We have the indirect lighting, and we actually have an opening for venting, so that these are LEED certified buildings. So we're trying to keep everything in a sustainability factor. So we're trying to listen to what everybody wants. Some of the original drawings that we had, that people complained that they were blank. The reason we had them that way is we didn't want to be presumptuous and give you guys a drawing of what we wanted. We wanted to keep some of that open so that we could come back to you with further updates like we have today, and said, here's something that we can do. And again, we're far from from where it is. You know, we're only on fourth or fifth iteration. You know, if the school board chose us, we'd probably be on the 40th iteration before we'd actually be able to build anything. So again, we want to look at consensus within the neighborhood, because we know that's critical. We want to be good partners, and we're saying virtually everything's on the table. Let's talk one last time about traffic, because that seems to be a hot button. We've been watching what's happened on Willamette. We've been studying, you know, listening very carefully. You know, there's people on all sides about whether you want to have four lanes, you want to have three lanes, you want to have bike lanes. We hear from the traffic people that they don't have enough right-of-way. In other words, from the city's traffic people. We're saying, hey, what? We actually have hired a traffic consultant before we even got involved, and said, if we can't leave this property in a better condition than we found it, then we shouldn't be involved. And after a lot of money, they said, no, if you do some of these upgrades, and I can point out a few of these upgrades, one of them is, as you know, you come south of Willamette, you take a right, and then a left on Oak. We'll put a road that would go straight ahead and go out here to the Amazon Parkway. We'll actually add a signal lights there. There's some road widening we can do on Willamette, because you're talking from 24th down to 30th, where the big controversy is. Well, the controversy doesn't go away down here. And, you know, there's the talk about the 102-way traffic. We've also said, hey, behind the Fred Meyer. We have something, we have no services back there. So there's no shipping, receiving, or garbage or anything. But we could actually maybe divert the bicycles down there. But we don't know if that's what you want. But we think we could actually divert the bikes down and have them go across the, you know, Amazon and put them actually on the parkway and you know, on the bike pass. And therefore alleviate and maybe opening up more traffic lanes so that, it, you know, you it, for an ease of traffic for the people who are to the south. So, but these are all ideas we're putting out and that we would want to explore with the city prior to, you know, making a submittal. So that'd be it for right now. Thank you.
So now I realize why I got the blank looks. I introduced one of you, and it wasn't the person who spoke first, so I apologize for that. Let me get them right now, and then we'll move on. You just heard from Peter Powell, who was the director there. Ron Krasilnik will be speaking next. He's the secretary-treasurer, as I said. Well, I guess I gave you all three, but I'm confused. Let's move on to Ron.
You haven't gone anywhere. Thank you, John. I'm Ron Krasilnik. I represent the United Stadium Group, USG. I'd like to thank the City Club for allowing us the opportunity to share our vision. This is an important issue that we've been dealing with for many years, and things have changed, but we're fortunate to be able to share this with you. USG is a nonprofit organization incorporated 1 year ago, and we're committed to retaining the use of Civic Stadium and the Civic Stadium site as a public resource. Our goal is to see the stadium redesigned and renovated for multiple users and ensure it remains accessible, providing recreation and entertainment, a place to play, learn, and grow. The site, which has been in the public's domain since 1938, should be a metropolitan city park. Less than 2 weeks ago, on September 16th, after careful consideration and research, a motion was made by Councilors George Brown and Greg Evans at a City Council work session. The motion, which was clarified at a later meeting, directed the city manager to develop a proposal for the city's acquisition of the site. The motion passed by a 5-2 margin. This was great news for the thousands of people committed to saving a piece of our history. And it's the first step towards what our group proposes for the future of Civic Stadium. The site should become Civic Park. Where would the money come from to buy it? Civic could be purchased using Park Bonds funds authorized in 2006 for the purpose of acquiring suitable and available park lands, especially that which could become commercial. This quiet 10-acre site surrounded by trees is like an island located between two highly commercial corridors, one to the north of 18th Street, one to the south of 24th Street. How often does a place like this, so close in, close to a major high school, become available? And what better site than this could ever be found for a city park? But can Park Bonds funds be used for this purchase? Glenn Klein, city attorney, has said they can, though there would be restrictions as to how the parkland could be used and managed. This would need more study. And what happens once the land is acquired? We propose the park could be operated according to the model now used with Laurelwood Golf Course and the Cutbirth Amphitheater, where a contractor is hired to operate and maintain the facility within the park. The city would not be saddled with the unbudgeted expense of running it themselves. The park would be a public place that actually generates revenue for the city rather than being a drain on funds, as are most parks. We have told the city that if an RFP is issued, USG intends to make a proposal to be the contractor that manages the renovation, operation, and maintenance of the new stadium park. And how exactly would the park be used? We would recommend the stadium be made available at a reasonable cost to multiple groups that have already indicated an interest in using it. The anchor or main user would be a professional soccer team. USG is affiliated with a new organization in Eugene, Lane United Football Club, LUFC. This this club has purchased a franchise in the PDL League, which is operated by United Soccer Leagues, LLC. LUFC's first team will begin playing in the league this next spring. The PDL, or Premier Development League, is composed of over 60 semi-pro soccer teams across the United States. There are 8 teams in the Northwest Division with whom LUFC will compete. These include teams affiliated with Major League Soccer's Portland Timbers, Seattle Sounders, and Vancouver Whitecaps. Time doesn't permit me to cite a lot of statistics, but I can tell you that abundant research indicates that Lane County will be a very successful place for pro soccer. It will provide an affordable sports option for those unable to access U of O sporting events, and it'll be a favorite of our younger demographic. The frenzied success of professional soccer in Portland is certainly a model that we can use. Other users of the new Civic Park will include youth sports organizations like Eugene Metro's Football Club and Kid Sports. State high school championships in soccer, football, and lacrosse could be held there. Adult City League teams could use it in the evenings. Northwest Christian University men's and women's soccer teams have expressed interest in using the stadium as their home venue. Community gatherings, festivals, concerts, and events could be held there as well. The site would be used by the public for the public. Obviously, this historic site needs to be renovated. We believe the funds to do this can be raised without adding to city budgets. Public-private partnerships have a long history of success in sports venue development all over the country, from Portland to Hillsboro to Tucson to Washington, D.C., cities big and small all over the country. There have been public-private partnerships that have been successful. That avenue will be pursued. A variety of available resources can together fund the reconstruction, such as facility naming rights, sponsorships, historic preservation grants, small municipal bonds, and in-kind donations. Obtaining permits for this renovation should be easier than for other proposed uses because rezoning will not be necessary and we expect active neighborhood support. With city ownership, more resources will be available to solve traffic and parking issues. There will be fewer delays, the project can more effectively be planned and completed more quickly and easily. This is especially important because the primary user, Lane United, needs a place to call home. Once they expand into the USL Pro League, which is a giant step up in quality, a stadium the size of Civic will be required by the league. Though Civic Stadium has been LUFC's preference, the city of Springfield has recently expressed interest in building a stadium for the team. Wouldn't we rather have the team play at Civic than in Springfield? To sum up, we feel the land on which Civic Stadium sits should be a city park, one that everyone in Eugene can enjoy. It will not be a neighborhood park for South Eugene residents. With our proposed use, it would become a regular destination for people throughout Eugene, plus all of Lane County and beyond. Think of how many people would attend the wide variety of entertainment and sporting events that would be held there, and from how far they will come. We presently have no facility in Eugene like what is being proposed. With this plan for the site, the neighborhood will be happier, Travel Lane County will be happier, historic preservation advocates will be happier. Eugene will profit financially from the surge in recreational and spectator sports this brings. Civic Park, with its gleaming new stadium complex, will make us proud. Of all the options, this plan for the future of Civic Stadium offers the best use and provides the most benefits for the most people. We hope that soon School District 4J agrees. Thank you.
Thank you for the opportunity to be here today with you. I know we did this a couple years ago. See a lot of the same faces and a lot of new ones. We just passed out to your table a couple things. One is a story about one particular mother and her children. And what the why is really about stories about people. So I'm not going to read that to you. I'm not going to share that same information that we've given to you in writing. But let me tell you what we've been doing for the last 2 years. We went through this with Peter and Ron a couple years ago when 4J made the decision to put the sale or lease on hold. We learned something from that. We've had the opportunity during this whole time to speak both with neighborhood groups, with the schools, with the principals, with kids at the schools. And we've come up with what we think right now is an opportunity that will have long-term impact on kids and families in this community. I'm not going to talk about a building. All a building is to us is a tool to do things with people. We don't sell socks. We don't sell soft goods. We're not a professional soccer team. But what we do is develop people. On that one sheet there, it talks a little bit about the things that we would provide with a new Y on that site. One of the things is memberships for middle school and high school kids throughout the district. We'll also talk about the work we're doing through an academic achievement center, which would be included as part of our facility, where kids could be connected with tutors, and everything we do there would be to enhance what the schools are trying to do. The collaborative approach that we've taken with 4J, we already do. This would allow us to expand those kinds of opportunities. So 2 years ago, when we learned that we weren't that this was going to be on hold, I think probably the best way to describe is that we started looking for dates. And when I say dates, we were looking for someone that we could partner with at Civic Stadium. So over the last 2 years, we have probably dated 10 different people. Some local, some from a distance. The capstone project that we originally involved, one of the things we heard there is you really need to find somebody local, somebody connected to this community. And that's what we've been working on. So we're down to two or three. We're not sure where we're going to be at yet. But we're excited about that they're local, that the potential there to do something to develop that site, because we need about 4 to 5 acres for the Y. The remaining needs to be consistent with the community values and what that neighborhood wants. It also is critical, as the time I spent with the school district staff, that it is critical that that neighbor be someone that works well with the school, that's conducive to kids being back and forth between the schools. So we're close, and we'll be presenting an RFP when it's due in December with our new partner, and we're excited about that. I think the other thing here is, as we, and I, by the way, Peter, I think I didn't know you were offering to give us that property. Thank you. Appreciate that. Anybody else wants to jump in on that, we'd be happy to take that too.
We
do have to talk. So this was a surprise. And we'll consider dating, if that's okay. but that's all at this point. I think what we're most excited about is the potential for this YMCA. This Y has been in this community for 126 years. Started on the University of Oregon campus, then was on Willamette Boulevard, right between what is the McDonald Theater and the bus barn. And that was built there in 1909. We moved to our existing facility in the early 1950s. That, by the way, that building over on Willamette had a swimming pool down in the bottom. It used to lose about 2 feet of water every day, which is really what generated the steam heat in Eugene for years, I think. But we moved over to that new facility in the early 1950s. That building is old. It is old. And we have all kinds of facility issues. We try to keep it up as best we can, but we pour a ton of money into that. One of the ways that we're able to generate revenue is we charge adults, if any adult members are here, we charge you more than it really costs us to have you there. But we take that extra money and we put it into the financial assistance. Last year, we allocated over $650,000 in financial assistance to people. That's in child care, it's in summer camps, it's in memberships, it's in swimming lessons. We don't turn any kid away because of financial resources. That's critical to this community. It's critical to the families and young people in this community. Eight years ago, I think, when it might even be longer now, when the university decided to expand their wellness center, the memorial, the recreation center on campus, we knew it was going to kill us because we had about 1,200 young college students who were members at the Y. They were all going to go over there, and so we said, where's our next market? We found seniors. So we had about 100 seniors that were members at the Y at that time. Now we have over 1,500 seniors, and it's really become a community place. We want to stay there. We want to be continue to work with all these age groups. And the best part about it is all the college students came back, which is, it's just crowded over there, but it's a safe place. The long-term viability of this YMCA in this community is dependent upon a new Y facility, right? It's critical. Our projections show that we'll have over 10,000 members in a new building. It will also protect and give us the opportunity to build a new YMCA out in West Eugene in a very underserved area. And because that facility would be able to turn off the financial resources to support the development of that site out there. And that's a very underserved area, and we've been working with the city on that for 8 years to try to get that project real close to get that moving. The success of that project is also dependent upon a new YMCA in South Eugene. That's about what I got to share with you. The Y is about people. It's about stories. It's about life-changing things that happen with kids and families. And this Y is, again, all it is a tool to do those kinds of things with people. Thank you.
So thank you, each of you, for sharing your vision. We're going to ask you to do something a little bit different. I don't know how many of you know about the triple bottom line analysis tool that the city of Eugene has developed, but it's another way of looking at projects that allows you to do two things. First of all, I think it gives you an opportunity to look at things you might not consider, and second of all, it gives you a broad spectrum of analysis as you go along. So, having explained that, not at all, let me tell you the questions I'm going to ask these folks. In other words, how would your proposal impact the environmental, social equity, and environmental development of our community? In other words, economy, environment, and equity. And we'll go the other way this time. So, each of you take your time. Thank you, Dave.
I'm back. It's interesting. We've been working, I don't know if any of you know him, a gentleman by the name of Ed Whitelaw. And he's the founder and principal with Echo Northwest, world-renowned economist. And Ed's a member at the Y and has been swimming there for years. He called me about 2 weeks ago and said, I need to make a case for the economic value of the YMCA to this community. And if any of you know Ed, and I'm not that smart. Ed took us into a room, what he calls his bunker, and he's got a flying pig hanging from the ceiling. And I said, what's with the pig? And he says, when pigs fly, and I go, this is how we're going to get your Y built. And I said, I don't think in terms of the Y as being an economic engine. He goes, no, it is. He shared with me, he says, 30 years ago, an economist, if they asked you about general questions about the economy, that first they'd talk about buildings and they'd talk about manufacturing. He says, right now, they'll still mention that, but then one that's always getting mentioned, and number two on the list worldwide is, social capital. And it's what happens with communities. It's long term. And that's what happens when we develop kids and when we develop families, is a long term relationship in this community. The other thing, Ed, again, it goes back to our kids developing, but Ed has done studies throughout the country on absenteeism in schools. And what they have found is that if there's community organizations that are connected to the schools, working with the schools, absenteeism drops. And as that absenteeism drops, kids do better. Families do better. And that's what the Y does. I think the other thing is just that in communities like this, when we go through a recession like this, it's organizations like the Y that step up. And when we, 2 years ago when this whole thing was really bad, we provided memberships to anyone who had lost their job. We were impactful, we connected with people, and most of those people have stayed as they've been able to connect. So I think that's, I'm fine with where I'm at.
Okay. Well, as a businessman, I have to admit I'm not really an expert in commenting on all these areas, but in giving it a little bit of thought, it seems to me like if you were making a park out of the site, you're going to probably have as little impact as any on the environment. I think it's the greatest, it provides the greatest retention of existing conditions. Well, hopefully, if that's an analysis of the environmental impact, that's probably the best I can offer at this point. As far as social equity, parks bring people together. Soccer has shown that it is supported by a variety of ethnic groups within the city and the area. So I think it would probably stand up well as far as other alternatives go. And as far as economic development, we know the jobs will be created. You can quibble about how many and what type of jobs, but there would be a definite economic impact to what we're doing. We know that the use that we propose would promote tourism. It would bring in people from all over Lane County and beyond. People travel to watch soccer games. You should see the number of people that go up to Portland to watch the Timbers games. And then, of course, we think historic preservation is a very important aspect of this entire project, and we think that that also has an impact when it comes to economic development.
Thank you. This is Peter Powell again. I guess I like the triple bottom line. I like watching how that was written out, and also I like the aspect. I think we actually provide a triple bottom line. I mean, if you look at the 4J school district, we're talking about children. We're talking about all the children. We're not just talking about an area here. Everybody that 4J teaches and the money that goes to them. We're offering, I think, far higher than anybody else. And again, we believe it's the right thing to do. But it was $4.75 million for that property. But we also said, hey, we could also lease it. We could lease it for the same amount, and the school district could come back and bond against the credit of our major tenant, Fred Meyer, which is Kroger, a Fortune 38 company. And that $4.75 goes to $7 million. I mean, you can ask any economist, any appraiser. I'm sure the media will check those numbers. But during that time, they get the 20 years of rental. And at the end of 20 years, they get to sell the property back to us at market again. So they're actually selling it one more time. Besides that, as far as you know, the kids are concerned, this property then becomes a fully taxed, fully apportioned a property, which we figure somewhere between $450,000 to $500,000 in tax goes to all the different agencies. And I can't say it goes to 4J, because we're trying to isolate that out, but it was hard to do. But we know that going to Lane County, to City of Eugene, to 4J, you know, to all the different agencies, just about $500,000, just under $500,000 would go out there on an annual basis as well as the income stream. Well, everybody said, okay, fine, you can talk about economics. Well, what about being, you know, the social aspect of it? We're saying that we want to, that everything is on the table. We've met with the different groups. I think, you know, I recognize several people here, and we've had some very cordial conversations. And no one wrote us out of the city on a rail. And we've come back with an idea or several ideas. We don't know, but we want to talk to you guys and say, what are those? What resonates? You know, and one of the ideas is we keep a portion of the stadium. We actually had on this one plan that we have here, and I know that Dave hasn't had a chance to see it much, but we actually kept a portion of the actual stadium and actually put the kept courts in there. We actually had a spot there for a 50,000 square foot brand new YMCA, if that's something that the YMCA would like to entertain, and, you know, if we're talking about dating. We also have a sports court over here. So we're actually trying to keep that. But on top of that, we wanted to, you know, as far as social, as we said earlier, we're not going to come on a site and leave it worse than we found it. I mean, Willamette Street has troubles. It has had troubles since when I was going to college here, you know, 30 years ago. I know that they've on their, like, ninth traffic study. Not a lot has been done. We're planning on putting something where our money where our mouth is, and actually doing the connections of the street on 20th, adding the signal light, and then going, doing some frontage right away, so that we'll make sure the level of service doesn't degrade. I can't say we're going to fix Willamette. I mean, that's been broken for a long time. And it doesn't seem like a lot of people want to take the medicine to do what right to fix it. But at least for our corner of the world, we would make sure that we would not make it any worse than it is right now. On top of that, you talk about social. We want to keep people in the neighborhood. One of the things, the seven pillars of the City of Eugene, which you've adopted, said you want to keep people in the area within 20 minutes, walking or biking. We're going to do that. One of our design criteria is that we had, they show like approximately 45 parking stalls for bicycles. We're putting 90 in, not because we want to be great, because our analysis says that's how many people will come. We want to service the local people in Eugene. We don't want to have them go to Springfield or go out West 11th in order to buy soft goods. So I think that we've tried to take a look at that from the aspect of the whole community, and you have to be social. If not, then we shouldn't be here. And I think and that's the only promise we can make for you. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you once again. Now it's time for questions. We don't have a first questioner today, but we invite you at each of your tables to generate a question to ask these fine folks, one or all of them. So we'll take a break shortly to do that. Not only should you generate questions, but if you really have a vision that you haven't heard here, please share that too. So take the break, and we'll get questions out here. Thank you.
You're tuned to KLCC Eugene 89.7 FM, KLCO Newport 90.5, 89.1 KLFR Reedsport, and at 88.1 KLFO Florence, KMPQ Roseburg, and KLBR Bend. We're also on the web at klcc.org.
Welcome back. We're here at City Club with Peter Powell from Fred Meyer, Ron Krasselnick from United Stadium Group, did I get that right? And Dave Perez from the Eugene Y. I would also like to mention we do have two 4J school board members here, and they're here to listen, they say. And we have Ward 1 City Councilor George Brown, who has graciously agreed to answer any questions about the status of the current city proposal as well. So when you come up, please identify who you're asking the question to, or all of them, and then we'll have the speakers try to remember to introduce themselves for our radio audience and to your questions.
Hello, I'm Betsy Stephenson, and I'm a member of the City Club. I'm a longtime resident of our community. I used to live in Springfield. Now I live in Eugene by Breeze Rock. And I have 6 adult children and 12 grandchildren. I was a PE major, and all my kids and all my grandchildren were in sports. And the person who said it helps them in school is, I think, right. It does. But one of the problems in today's schools are it costs money to be in sports. And there are many, I know they're giving scholarships, but there are many kids who do not get scholarships. Also, our schools, because of the money that isn't there, are not teaching art hardly at all, or shop. So anybody that wanted to go to work to learn to be a mechanic or a plumber or any of those background things, it just isn't there anymore. So if Civic Stadium could be acquired and be a combination of these two guys, this gentleman here and that gentleman in the middle, and become a park with the Y there, and we put together a CCC, which a lot of people in this room are old enough to know what CCCs were in the, I don't know if it was 20s or 30s, where people actually went and learned to do things, we could restore the stadium. We could perhaps offer sports free to children. We could be an example for the world, for social connections, to help people and teach people to do things with their hands. So I'd like to know how we can get about that. I know money is a problem. Well, what the heck, I know that. But everybody could do some contributions. I think we could raise the money to renovate the stadium and to have the Y there, which we need a new Y, and work together. So I'd like to know how actually the audience feels, but also how these guys feel about that. Thank you.
I'm Dave Perez with the Y. Ron and I in the Safe Civic group have worked together for a number of years. At least from our perspective, we have not been able to arrive at a solution to the Y and the stadium being on site. That was our original preference. But because of parking issues and the renovation cost to the stadium and the dollars available to it, we didn't feel that there was a viable opportunity to move forward in that direction.
I didn't talk about the entire usage, our recommended usage of the entire site, but I think it's safe to say that the new stadium complex on the site would not require the entire 10 acres. So it's a little early, but we've given some thought to to how that other acreage could be used. We're not sure exactly how it breaks out because there's issues with parking and transportation that would have to be answered before we could be definitive about it. But there will be other, there will be more land on that site available for other users. And we've certainly not ruled out the Y as far as being a partner. We think that would be a good use. And another possible use would be the idea of the city partitioning the site and either selling off or somehow disposing of a portion that could be used for complementary light commercial development, such as light retail, restaurants, taverns, other complementary type development.
This is Peter Powell. You know, our proposal is we are actually trying to reuse all part of that that are in shape. If you've taken a look at the study that the 4J did, there's about 25-30% of that is actually dry rot or has other problems that but salvage. But to salvage the majority of the parcels, and we're going to reuse it in not only our atrium area where we do the big timbers. Timber Town, you know, these are straight, you know, the old days, the 2x4s used to be 2x4. Well, now they're not. But these are the original dimension lumber, and we want to reuse it. Scoreboard, we actually had a portion inside on the right-hand side as you go in the atrium. We're actually going to put the scoreboard there. We actually are showing that we're going to retain a long portion of that, along Willamette, of the stadium portion of that, and we're actually putting a sports facility there or proposing a sports facility there. So there is a reuse and a retention of that of the stadium itself. I mean, we understand that, you know, how people feel about that. But we're trying to also balance that with the social needs and the economic needs of the community itself. And as you've already heard in nauseam, you know, about the economic need, but on the social needs, we're trying to look at some and partnering with people to provide that for the kids. And that's why I like that we talk about the triple benefit.
I'm Joel Corn, a City Club member for a couple of years now. And I just want to make sure I understand the dimensions here. From what you said, clearly, in your opinion, or the two gentlemen on the end, there's enough room for a Fred Meyer and the Y on that site.
That plan I'm showing, that unfortunately radio can't see it, but it's all dimension. It's a small Fred Meyer. It's not the normal what you think out of West 11th, which is about 175,000 feet. There's 120,000 feet. We also put a 50,000 square foot building footprint for the Y, which included, you know, for a pool and the materials. And then around the site we had the tennis courts and the basketball courts. You can see the basketball courts where we kept the.
Okay, is there enough room for a Fred Meyer and soccer?
That's a tall order.
Is that a no? I'm just trying to find out what the answer is. Is there room for a Fred Meyer and soccer?
I'm going to have to get back. The dimensions of soccer probably is what I call a junior soccer. What Ron's talking about, no.
Okay.
I do not believe that.
And is there, and from what I take it from the last answer, there's not enough room for soccer and the Y?
This is Dave Perez with the Y. Again, our previous analysis said no, not in a professional soccer sense. There would be the Y and fields there would work, but not a stadium, not a structure where people go, where you have thousands of people. We were talking attendance of, you know, 400 or 500. We'd be able to handle that. One other issue is on the Y and Fred Meyer. Currently, our facility, and we're bursting at the seams, is about 90,000 square feet. And the facility we're proposing is about 110,000 square feet, including our tennis center. The 50,000, while I appreciate it very much, we could probably go up, but I'm not sure whether or not we could really fit the new Y on that site and accommodate the kind of participation we expect.
And go ahead.
This is Ron Krasilnik. As far as a soccer stadium complex and the Y, there was a time right after the proposals were rejected by 4J a couple of years ago where we sat down and, working with an architect, we did explore some things. And it did appear to me and our group that there might be a way for there to be a stadium complex and a Y there. I believe that deserves more study.
Okay. And one question for Mr. Brown, and that is whether or not the city has any inclination for which of the proposals when you decided to get involved again?
Well, the city is not the one that's going to make the final decision. That's for Jay's call. And all I can tell you is that a very solid majority of the city's elected leadership, two-thirds, this is the first time throughout the whole process since 4J declared a surplus property, all the years going back and forth, everyone coming up with plans. This is the first time that the city, your elected officials, a very strong majority, has decided that they want to preserve, they are willing to commit to preserving the property, rehabbing it, and repurposing it. As a community owned, I mean, you know, and by the way, that was the same percentage of people back in 1938 who voted to tax themselves to acquire the property and pay the back taxes and build the facility. It was two-thirds, 2-1 vote. It's the same now at the city leadership. So we have a very definite commitment for the manager to come up with a plan to make that happen. We still have to approve the plan. And then we sit the way things stand now, and then submit it to 4J during the, you know, as part of their RFP process. But yes, the city is very committed to making this happen.
This is a question from City Club member Don Tykeson, who's been a member since 1993, and asked me to ask his question. Has Fred Meyer had prior successful experience working with community organizations such as the YMCA or the Boy Scouts, et cetera? Nice. That's a question for Mr. Powell.
That's an excellent question, and the answer is yes. You know, it comes in different forms. And do we have one where we can point to a YMCA, you know, at the front door? And the answer is no. But the answer is we do have worked with them. We've actually called off a property up at 85th in called Greenwood in Seattle, Washington, where we've actually worked part of that. We also, you know, there's donations that the Fred Meyer and the Kroger Corporation gives every year to organizations like that. I mean, what Dave Perez provides is an invaluable service. There's nobody here in our organization that would say anything other than that. And what he does personally is actually very admirable. You guys are very lucky to have a guy like Dave Perez in your community. You seriously are.
Bob Cassidy, City Club member. Our table is interested in parks. If the city is out of money to operate parks, libraries, and so forth, how do you justify spending millions in a park you cannot afford to maintain? You mentioned the Laurelwood Golf Course. That's a major expense to the city right now.
Hi, this is Ron Krasilnik. I'll try and answer that. We've noted for a long time that this was the major problem with having the land acquired as a park. The money is there to purchase it, perhaps, but how do you operate it? And we have felt that the best answer for that is the type of proposal that we're making, that if a contractor is in charge and has reasonable revenue-generating plans, it can turn a profit. Laurelwood hasn't worked out quite as well. That's unfortunate. Cuthbert Amphitheater has been a good model for the city, and we believe that you know, whether it's USG that operates as the contractor, or if some other organization comes in, such as Kesey Enterprises or so to propose to run it, this still can provide all the operating funds, and it would not cost the city to operate the park.
Ruth Demler, City Club member. I'm a little prejudiced here because I am a Y member, and I go a couple of times a week. I try to, at least. And I just wonder if the building's going to last by the time I see a new Y. But that isn't my question, because every time I go, something happens. So, but I love it, and we have a great crowd there every day. And a lot of people walk there. So we want, when it's rebuilt, we want it in the vicinity. We want it so that all the people that walk there can walk to the new Y. So it's only a block away. But I've also known there's a great need in the community for something for teenagers. And my grandson goes to South High School. And He isn't in the sports, so he would like to join some clubs, but there aren't any clubs. And I understand there is a possibility that the Y might have a teenage club. Is that really true? I want to know. And what other things are you planning for the community?
And we do keep track how often you're there, by the way. I'd also like to thank Peter. It sounds like he wants to date, so that's nice. And again, this is Dave Perez with the Y. I think our one of our objectives, we did a feasibility study to test whether or not we could raise the $15 million that we will need to build a new Y in South Eugene. One of the things that we asked people was how do they feel about the collaborative approach between the Y and the schools. As we developed that idea, we came up with this whole academic achievement center for middle school and high school kids that would be around technology, theater, arts, all sitting in a, kind of, if you're familiar with that fenced in area on the north part of the lot, that we'd like to be able to put it right there. And as we've talked with the schools and the principals and assistant principals, the collaborative approach that we want to do with kids is really to support what they're doing with kids during their part of the day and what we want to have with the others. It's also critical that we're able to do this. Again, we can generate a lot of revenue out of that operation. We're confident that we can raise the money based on the feasibility study to build that new Y. But the other exciting thing, again, I mentioned earlier, is to build a new Y in West Eugene. And this successful Y in South Eugene will really allow us to help subsidize and get that started out there for those kids and those families in Bethel School District.
So I'm Mary Layton, representing Network Charter School at City Club for 7 years. So I realized as I listened to Peter speak that, in fact, nothing would change about my buying habits, having been inculcated by my children to buy local frequently, as much as possible, keep people my own money in my neighborhood, that the only people that would suffer are the people in the West 11th Freddy's, because that's where I go when I can't find it in the neighborhood, and it would be handy to have it right there, and I'm not into sports. So I'm also married to someone by arrangement, by someone who knew us both and introduced us, and it turned out to be a much better arrangement than my first marriage. So I'm kind of into this dating thing and listening to what people have to say, and so I'm very interested in the possibilities of a long-term relationship between the person whose work is very key to the children of this city. Social capital is the least... it's the dying capital. Right now, we are living in an age when the distance between rich and poor is the greatest, when the concentration of poverty gets ever more, the concentration of wealth on fewer people. Social capital is critical. And mixing kids up in a place like the Y that has no marker for social class or race, but in fact is a place where you can go and be safe and learn stuff, is really appealing to me. So I'm hoping one of you can comment on your hopes for the possibility of a fixed, you know, an arrangement, a setup.
Well, I'll start because I know I sort of surprised Dave this morning with that, the board and that.
A little bit.
Yeah, so he was chewing on his tongue a little. But, one thing you have to know is that the 4J School District has been, because we've been in most of the board meetings, has been really looking out for the Y. I mean, when we were there at the board meetings and they talked about the RFP, but they actually were mainly going on the, for the school bond, which thank goodness passed. But when they talked about Roosevelt Junior High School, they actually, when they did it, they said, no, we'll rebuild Roosevelt, and where Roosevelt is, we'll make all that land available for the Y. So don't think the 4J School District is just leaving the Y out. I mean, because they've been very thoughtful. I mean, I heard what they said, and that was, hey, these are younger kids that they're not driving, like the high school, the high school kids are. And so they actually needed more supervision, if you will. And having the Y there, they thought was a marvelous idea. We would like to, if you will, date or collaborate, maybe would be a better word, cohabitate. I'll stop right now. Anyway, with the Y, because we think, again, that the overall working with the 4J school district, working with the Y, and working with the community, putting the soft goods. I mean, we're talking about hiring 200 people. I mean, putting people, real jobs to work. We're a union company. We actually have full health insurance. I mean, we're talking living wage jobs. So it's, I think it could be a win-win situation And, you know, we're trying to make sure that when we're adding all the spices to the soup, we don't ruin it. We want to make sure it works for everybody.
This is Dave Perez from the Y. And I appreciate it, Peter, your comments, and thank you for that. I think the one thing we have to take into account is what's best for those kids, and is a Fred Meyer at that site best for those kids? And so as we've talked with the school district and we've given them six or seven different options as to what they would like on that property, and in addition to the Y. And we think we have a good answer, and Fred Meyer retail was not a response that seemed to work well for them, at least in our discussions.
Yeah. And again, we've obviously been, this is Peter Powell again, but, you know, been interfacing with the 4J and Shelley Berman, again, you have an excellent superintendent. And, you know, he was actually encouraging us greatly to work with that. But he also is looking at the bottom line. I mean, the 4J, we all sit there and say, hey, they passed a big bond measure. But the bond measure is for building and for operating the school. It's not for teachers. It's not for their general operating fund. That's what we can provide, the money, the background, and the economics we talked about earlier. They need the money, and that is for all the kids and all the schools. So if we can make it a win-win, I think it's best for the community.
I'll note that Ruth is one of those college student members of the Y we were talking about. But we had a question from another member, actually specifically directed to you, Ron. There was a concern about the legality of acquiring the city acquiring the parcel as parkland and then using the stadium for basically a commercial use for the stadium group. Is that an issue that's been explored or yet to be answered from the city attorney?
This is Ron. This is one of those things I indicated before is going to need more study. There's a lot of unanswered questions, and with the amount of time that this has been on the horizon, it's been difficult to find an answer to it. But I do want to add that you know, as we've been working on this project, especially over 3.5 years that I've been involved in it, we've been looking to see if there's a way to satisfy the people who have been involved. And, of course, that specifically goes to the Y. You know, in trying to work a way so that we could have the stadium and the Y, that's certainly an option that we wanted to work towards. But in addition to that, as we saw the plans for a new Roosevelt, it had made a lot of sense to us that if the Y wanted to be rebuilt on a site that was very close to where they are now and offered a lot of the same benefits that they would have at the Y, we had hoped that perhaps the plans for rebuilding the Roosevelt Middle School could also include the Y on that site, which would, of course, hopefully satisfy everybody, enabling us to have the park, the Y on a location similar. It kind of leaves out Fred Meyer, and we apologize for that, but we have seen over that time that the neighborhood has expressed their opinion on their feelings for that by and large, and so I guess that's where we're at on that.
Okay. And a personal question for me. I confess to being somewhat torn because actually Fred Meyer did buy my father's vegetables from his farm. I am a Y member, and I do watch soccer, so I'm torn in multiple directions with this. My question is actually a specific one about the triangular parcel that is across Amazon Parkway. None of you have discussed that in the context of the use of the parcels. Do any of you know who owns that, and could that be part of the larger picture, opening it up for compatible uses by, say, using that triangular parcel where next to First Place Family Shelter as parking or something, because there is that pedestrian bridge.
This is Dave Perez. That property is owned by the school district. There are some limitations on building on that because it's so close to the Amazon Creek through there. There's also some environmental issues around little blue flowers, I can't remember the name of them, that are there. But we have looked at that, and we have considered that is a possibility some additional parking, but it's somewhat complicated.
All right. Well, thank you for bringing clarity and vision to this City Club discussion of the future of Civic Stadium. We will next meet on October 4th at the LCC Downtown Campus, our alternative location for this year, in Room 112 for Digital Privacy and the NSA, who's reading your email and what you can do about it. We will also have a program with Senator Wyden on a similar topic in the future, but this will focus more on your personal digital protection, and that follow-on will follow the about the general political issues about it. Thank you for coming today.